Our next speaker is Scott Norton. He's Operations Manager of the Optimization Division. I don't have any optimization. I can't pronounce it. Optimization Division of USNR. I'll call him a problem solver. His presentation entitled Innovative Sawmilling and Yard Technologies will present a fresh approach to scanning, optimization, and process control technologies. And the plan is that the question and answer will follow a little later this afternoon during the industry confab. So if you please welcome Scott. Come on up, please.
Okay, give us just a second to get the technology together. I'm going to pass this gavel off back to you, though. As usual, waiting for Microsoft. Woohoo! Technology works. That's perfect. Thanks. Well, thank you very much for inviting me to speak here today. It's certainly a privilege. I've been involved in the hardwood industry now for almost 20 years. It's always been a pleasure to work with each and every one of you in figuring out ways that we can make operations work better. Talking about innovation is something that I don't take lightly. Particularly when you're asking me to prognosticate the future. As you all may well be aware, on Tuesday was the 25th anniversary of the World Wide Web. And I thought in honor of that, it might be interesting to look back at some quotes about computers that tell us how good prognosticators can be. So there's a gentleman that said, I think there's a world market for maybe 5 computers. That gentleman was Thomas Watson. He said it back in 1943. He was one of the chairmen of IBM. So, yeah, he got that a little bit wrong. I think most of us have 5 computers in each one of our systems. There was an organization that said websites will never replace newspapers. Well, I don't know about you, but my local newspaper went from 7 days a week delivery down to 3 days a week delivery just a few weeks ago. And the organization that said this, Newsweek, back in 1995, doesn't even exist as a published edition anymore. I think we may actually be bringing it back. How about this one? Spam will be gone in 2 years. Any guesses about who said that one? You might have heard it on the news recently. That was Bill Gates. Any thoughts about when he said it? It wasn't yesterday. It was way more than 2 years ago. It was 2004. So this whole prognostication thing is rife with difficulty. But I think there's a lot going on, and I want to spend a few minutes talking about it today. And I really want to do that with a nod to the past, looking a little bit about what we've done in the past, where we are today, and then using that to point a trajectory into the future. Because there really is a lot going on right now. There's a lot of opportunity out there, and we're just getting started in figuring out how to use it. There's a number of different examples that I could use for this, but I'm really just going to focus on 3 today. One is looking at some advances in material handling and different ways we can do that. Taking a look, second, at controls and system management tools, what those mean to us, what new ways we might be able to do that in the future. And then also looking at the next step in sawmill scanning. And of course, that's the one you probably all expected me to talk about. But we'll talk a little bit about that one as well. So let's start with material handling. Are any of you still plagued by these devices of torture? These limit switch wands, these devices that require significant maintenance in order to make sure that pieces sequence properly through our systems. Here's a picture of one on an edger, has to be clipped to just the right length in order for it to work properly. It keeps getting stuck in wood, all kinds of things. That was the technology of 20 years ago, but many of us still have them. There was a little bit of an update that was made to those. We started thinking about PhotoEyes and how PhotoEyes might make that easier. At least you didn't have to clip them. They didn't have quite as many problems, but they got dirty all the time. And almost all of us still have that technology in our sawmills. A real pain in the neck in terms of keeping systems up and running constantly. Well, we're looking at it in some different ways. And this is the first time in this conversation that I'm going to talk about vision and ways that we can use vision devices to get rid of the troublesome, high-maintenance devices of the past. So in this particular slide, what I have up here is a typical infeed system to a transverse edger. That black thing's a scanner. We'll deal with that later on. But what I really want to draw your attention to is that little red camera that's hanging up in the air there and looking down at the unscrambler transfer and how pieces feed onto those lugs. It used to be that in a system like this, you had to have an operator standing right next to it all the time, touching nearly every piece. That's not the case today. Today, those operators are wandering around. They're making sure systems in general are up and running properly. But it's systems like this, a simple vision camera up in the air where it doesn't get dirty, looking down at a clear field, controlling the operation of that system. This is what the camera view looks like. That's what it's seeing. And all of those little marks that you can see in there, those are what we call virtual photo eyes. It's those things that we used to put down inside the transport device, now up above, and identifying the key control points for that system. I've got a video of one that shows how this works. And this video is just a little bit complicated. It's not quite applicable to your environment per se, but this is a test system that we set up. And what you can't see in the video is that there's a camera hanging up overhead that's looking down on this transport. This is actually a planer mill outfeed, a special outfeed that we've designed, that presents the boards one at a time onto a series of belts. It doesn't singulate them, it doesn't deskew them, but it makes sure that they're not piled up on top of each other. And then the camera overhead does all the work. You can see further downstream the little orange lug pipes. So this system, without any kind of hook, without any kind of lug loader, is going to load these pieces that are coming at it directly into those lugs without any other intervention. Take a look. See if I can make this work. Not yet. There we go. Video's having trouble keeping up. Come on. Well, wasn't that just incredible? Okay, I can see the videos just aren't going to work real well with this system, so we'll give it one more try here. See if it can do a better job. Okay, well, that's fine. Come over to our booth later and I'll show you the full video. It's really pretty interesting about how we can use just that simple camera system to feed lugs without any user intervention, operator intervention. So that's some of the stuff that's going on in the lumber handling territory. Let's talk a little bit about some system management tools, some ways that can make our mills operate more efficiently, give us better information, and keep our workers moving around the mill instead of fixed in one place so they can be more efficient at the jobs that they're doing. This is an old network diagram that we presented in various venues about 15 years ago, showing what we thought might be happening in the next several years in terms of networking things together. I remember talking to the Forest Products Research Society back in Clearwater, again about 20 years ago, about the wonders of networking and what that was going to provide for sawmills. Yet today we're taking still very little advantage of those opportunities, of combining the information from multiple machine centers, mining that data for information, and making our operations work more efficiently. So I'd like to share with you a couple examples of that. We'll see if this video works at all. It's going to be equally painful. There we go. So what we're looking at here is a sorter controller. It's not a series of buttons that are down a whole series of bins, a bunch of what we call bin boxes with buttons on it, that the operator is currently constantly running around and trying to keep the sorter system under control, dropping bins, getting them out to the stacker, whatever the next phase of the process is. Here the operator has all of that control in his hands. Right there. Ready to operate, ready to see what the status of everything is, and it means that now he's not tied to a single place. Now he can move around. If there's a problem, he has the device of control in his hand. He doesn't have to clear something, then go back to a control console to do something. He's right there, ready to operate it. When we first started installing the systems, we were a little bit worried about safety. You know, well, this is on a wireless network thing. Is that going to cause some issues in the mill? The network going down or causing some safety concerns? And the reality is, with the 10 or so of these systems that we have installed today, safety is not an issue. In fact, they're safer because the guy can be right there looking at what he needs to look at and operating the system. This is just a simple example of how that works, and it's something that we're developing further and further all the time. Another step of that is, again, using a tablet device to see how the systems are working. Those of us with optimization in our mills are familiar with the process of running into a computer room and looking at the screen and seeing what the status of the system is and how it works and what needs to happen. And, oh, I want to see, why did it solve that piece that way? Oh, I got to stop something and run out to get that piece and look at it and figure out what's going on. That's not the way things need to be today. We need to be able to take the information out to where the problem is and solve it, not run back and forth in order to get the information that we need. So right now we're in the process of developing a number of tablet applications that are specifically designed for sawmill systems and optimization. So one example of that is just a screen that shows the current queue of wood that's going through the system. So you don't have to go back in the computer room anymore. It's right there. You're standing at the edge of the conveyor. You're looking at the tablet and saying, ah, I see what the solution is for that piece. You can see it right there. And if you want to see some details on that, that's available on the tablet too. Again, we're not running back and forth to the computer room. It's right there, available for us to look at now. Years and years ago, we said that, gee, wouldn't it be cool if reporting could come to a central computer, a central printout area, so that we could pull it off of a database and put it into our information systems. Well, now today, not only can you do that, but again, it's right there on the tablet. You can see what's going on in real time now. So just, again, a few examples of how we're using new technologies, being as device independent as possible, so we don't care if you're an iPad person or an Android person or a Microsoft person, but getting data out to you where you can use it instead of having to run back and forth to gain that information. Okay, well now let's talk about all that scanning stuff. And what does vision mean? And what can we do with grading? What impacts does that have? The image that we have on the screen right now is basically where the state of the art is today, and it's not all that different from where it was 15 years ago. Yeah, we have better computing systems, they have better uptime in general, but For the most part, we're primarily looking at geometric information, basically the shape of that piece. We're hoping that somebody else is taking a look at the quality of that piece, at the grade of that piece, and putting appropriate inputs into the system so that we maximize the value of that piece. So here we have an edger flitch. This is pretty typical. Three saw edger, two pieces coming out of that. You know, that's what we've been doing for a while. What can we do next? Well, with relatively simple classification tools, there's a lot that we can do today. We can avoid overedging material. So a piece using vision information might appear that, this is really going to be a low-grade piece. Well, let's not overedge it to an FAS. Let's edge it properly. If it's going to be a high-grade piece, then at least let's edge it appropriately for that kind of grade. That's the first step, but there's many steps after that. Whenever we're looking at an application for vision in a sawmill, there's basically three categories or classifications of information that we're looking for to evaluate that. First is their market opportunity. Second, does the mill have the mechanical capability required to do the installation? And third is what does the wood look like? Is the wood such that it works well with the vision type system? So let's look at those individually. So market opportunity. Well, in hardwood, there's no question here. There's absolute market opportunity. There's absolutely more that we can get out of our raw material than we're getting today. Computing systems can help us do that. So that's a clear win. Market opportunity exists. The second, then, is a little bit harder. Mechanical capability. Do we have the equipment that's really necessary to take advantage of the information? So, for example, if you put a vision system in front of a trimmer, do you have a fence that's accurate? Because if the fence isn't very accurate, then you're going to lose the value of what a vision system would add. In terms of an edger system, two saws are okay, but three saws really let us take advantage of what might be in the raw material. Four saws, perhaps even better, depending upon the size of the material coming through your mill. The other question that we ask in terms of mechanical capability is, what are the downstream constraints? Is there anything special that we need to do with the wood as early in the process as possible to deal with those downstream constraints? In some environments, you're kiln limited, so you'd really like to do as much trimming as is reasonably possible up front while the wood is green. On the other hand, if kiln capacity is an issue, then maybe you want to leave on as much wood as possible. So those are going to be things that are specific to each setting. And then finally, the big mechanical capability issue is, what's the production volume? Is there really an ROI in doing this kind of investment? Are you running enough material through your mill to pay for this type of system? And that's a real analysis that we have to do to make sure that the mechanical capability exists for these types of systems. So I would call that one a question mark. In some mills, absolutely, there's good mechanical capability to apply some of the things that vision can provide. In other mills, perhaps not. So that brings us to the big one, wood characteristics. I'm going to tell you that this is a bigger problem today than it will be 5 or 10 years from now. Because for vision systems to work, just like about any optimization system that you put into a mill, for vision systems to work, they have to see a lot of material. We do a lot of work in our labs looking at a pack at a time of pieces or looking at several pieces in a sample. And we can learn a lot from that. We can learn about the things that we can see. But the reality is it's going to take thousands of pieces running through these types of vision systems to really get the benefit out of it. Because we need the data so that we can figure out what we can pull out of the information that's available. That's been true for softwood. And it's going to be equally true, if not more so, for hardwood. So these pieces that I have, these flitches that I have on the screen right now, these are just beautiful looking flitches. There is no doubt that just about any vision system could take a look at these flitches and do something of value with them. You know, you look at this beautiful piece, it's nice and bright. Of course, there's really no defect on it either other than the wane. So probably a geometric system would do just about as well with this as a vision system. This next piece down, well, it's got a nice little defect there. It's kind of blondish. It kind of blends in with the wood around it. But there's plenty of contrast there. We can see that kind of defect. This kind of wood is perfect. Let's take a look at a few trimmer examples. Here's a piece of maple. This is one that we've actually run through our optimization systems to come up with a solution. What you see here is you see a top image. That's the top of the piece. The bottom one is the bottom of the piece. That makes sense. That seems logical. It sees a couple of defects that it defines very clearly. So it sees the knot over on the far end. You probably can't see it from where you are, but there's a nice white circle that's drawn around that to indicate that the computer saw where that was. Similarly, on the end closest to me, it sees that defect as well on the top face. And most importantly, it doesn't call this little smudge down on the bottom face a defect. So it calls this a select piece. I don't think any of us would disagree with it. It finds one cutting unit, both top and bottom. Of course, it couldn't be an FAS piece because it doesn't have enough width to it. But a pretty straightforward solution made on that piece. So here's another one, maybe a little bit more difficult. This is a piece of red oak. Came up with a one common solution with a surface measure of 5. If you actually worked out the cuttings, and again, you probably can't see it all that well from back there, but there's solid lines around the cuttings, and then you also see dotted lines, and that represents the cuttings from the opposite face, so we can see how they relate to each other. But there's 41 clear cutting units on the top face. There's 45 clear cutting units on the bottom face. One little oddity that about this solution is that the cutting on the far end of the bottom face, that L1 cutting there, could clearly be longer. One thing that our algorithms do is once they found enough clear cutting units for the grade, they say, okay, I'm done. I don't need to worry about extending that cutting further. That saves us a bunch of solution time to be able to do that. So the question that we always ask in a solution like this is, okay, so that seems reasonable. The numbers all kind of pencil out for one common. Why isn't that an FAS piece? Well, it can't be FAS because it's got the defect on the top face, and you can't have a defect on the reverse piece of an FAS cutting. So it's not that. And I'm not a great inspector, so if you want to ask me about that, I'd be happy to talk to you in detail about it. But why not, face embedder, something like that? Well, the problem is, you see on the top face, it's identified a little orange streak there. It's surrounded in an orange in the upper right. And that's actually a bark pocket. Bark pocket is not allowed on the reverse of an FAS cutting. So it doesn't make face embedder either. So that's the one common solution for that. And then a third example. This is a piece of white oak. Again, a one common solution, pretty straightforward, comes up with a surface measure of 6. You'll notice that we're getting that surface measure, we're getting the grade out of the bottom face, and it's using 3 cuttings to do that. 3 cuttings are allowed in this situation because there's 56 core cutting units, which allows the third cutting. But again, the defects are very clearly identified on the faces. So on these pieces, on all three of these pieces, we get very clear information. Vision provides us excellent data and helps us make the right decision. But, and there had to be a but to this. That's not always the reality of hardwood. In fact, in particularly oak species, this is the reality of hardwood. And this is very difficult for vision systems to deal with today. Now, again, 5 years from now, probably not going to be a problem because we're going to have a ton of data that's going to help us identify these stains, these non-grade related stains, as just that. And we'll ignore them and we'll solve these pieces properly. But today, stuff like this gets in the way. Now, You could completely retrofit your mill so that it doesn't have the ferrous devices that cause this kind of stain, but that's probably not practical. So for wood characteristics, I'd say, again, maybe. In some settings, with some species, the wood characteristics are perfect for using vision to help us classify and grade material. But in many other settings, they're not. It'll change. So when we look at those three different areas, market opportunity, mechanical capability, the wood characteristics, we see some good stuff here. Yes, opportunities exist. Companies like USNR are constantly looking for those opportunities, looking for partners to work with so that we can move this technology further and improve the output of the mills, improve the value that you're getting out of the raw material. There are key innovations in progress. They're ready to be taken advantage of, and we look forward to working with you to do that. Lots of ways to get further information on this. Of course, you're welcome to join us at the USNR booth or at the roundtable discussions later on today. The videos that you couldn't watch on here very well today are all available on Vimeo. You're welcome to go to the Vimeo website and look for the USNR channel, and you can see these videos and many more. Thank you for your time.